Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
While you're receiving the offering, I want you to pay close attention to this. If you haven't received one of these, I would strongly encourage you to do so. Because as a body, we're going to do, starting this coming Wednesday, we're going to go through 40-day journey with Jesus. And for some of you say, what is that all about? It simply means this, is a chance for you every day to take a particular subject, like for instance, day one that we'll start off will be with repentance. You'll have read a couple of scriptures. And then it just gives you a thought of what this is all about. Breaking off old habits. That'll be the thing that you're going to deal with for that particular thing. So it's easy, and you can spend 10 minutes on it, you can spend 10 hours on it, doesn't matter. But it's something we're going to do together, and we want to encourage you, everything within you, that you would please be a part of this. And then I think that we'll get a chance to just kind of pray and be more unified together what God is doing. So these are available to you. They're available to anyone. If you don't get to start on the particular day, don't say, well, I didn't start with everybody, so I'm not going to do it. No, just pick up where we are, and God's going to do some wonderful things in your life. And I believe it's an opportunity for us to do some things as a body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So it's just something really simple. Well, praise the Lord. Everyone stand with me. We're going to go into reading our scripture today. I may truncate my message a little bit, and then again, I may not. Who knows? Dave, it's my anniversary. I do whatever I want. No. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. That was just a slip of the tongue. Okay. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 42. And you'll find the responding verse. A lot of scripture, but we're going to read it because there's a couple of stories in it. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And begged him eagerly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. Now a certain woman who had been had the flow of blood for 12 years. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. But his disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping. And And he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kuma, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Verse 42 together. Immediately the girl rose and walked, for she was 12 years old, and they were overcome with amazement. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, today I can say prophetically, some things we thought were dead will come alive today. Because you are Jesus, you're the one who brings life where we fear there's been death. And Lord, I pray today through the preaching of your word, through the miraculous power of we've been talking about more reasons to believe in you, that our belief would just go to the highest level yet, to go for the beyond the realm of impossible to the place where your Holy Spirit dwells. Holy Spirit, guide and direct us through this time of this message together, and we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and praise. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and shout out amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm kind of at a loss here because I'm kind of patching in what I didn't finish last week, and now I got double the amount, so that's okay. We'll figure it out. But, excuse me. I believe believers will continue to be confronted by non-believers with this in mind, who cling to the reality of a fallen world that is besieged with suffering and pain and disease without remedy. And regardless of the endless strides and discoveries of medical science, and the parade of endless cures and medical supplements and designer drugs that overtake the marketplace, offering a semblance of hope for those who suffer from various maladies, still some remain in the shadows of despair. When are they going to discover something to deal with my problem? What if they never do? Here's my three questions I want to throw at you today, and I hope that you can just really let them resonate or marinate in your heart. Number one, are you waiting for the cure that will one day allow you to embrace the freedom from that which has kept you from enjoying life without physical or mental impairment? Every problem we have is not physical. There are some things that get in our head that keep you from responding physically. Many people will tell you that a lot of people's illnesses really aren't necessarily physical. They happen up here. And if the devil convinces you you can't walk, you won't move one step in front of the other. You may have every ability to do so, but he can tell you you're not going to walk and it's not going to happen. But I'm here to serve notice on him. The liars that he's told you are going to be unmasked today and you're going to walk for the first time. What does that mean? It means that you're not paralyzed by his innuendos. Number two, does your faith long for an encounter with Jesus that will change in an instant that which you have suffered for a lifetime? That means it doesn't take all day. Ever been to a doctor's office and had an appointment and had to wait for the doctor? And that's nothing against the doctor. Schedules get behind. But you know what? I like that sign that says, there's no waiting. That's the best sign you can ever see. There's no waiting. You just come right on in. I want to tell you that there's no waiting. Jesus is in the house today. Does the thought of a further delay from deliverance paralyze you with fear of the possibility, and here's one, of imminent death? Because if something doesn't happen, I'm done. Well, let's unpack a little bit of this at least. Our belief in Jesus must overcome our fear of unbelief. We'll go back into Mark chapter 9, verse 24. I think it'll have it up here on the screen. Mark 9, 24. Immediately after, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. This is from our story last week, and kind of review a little bit of it so we can kind of blend the two stories together. Young man, father brings his son to the disciples because his son has been demonized. He's been throwing himself in the fire. He goes into convulsions. He foams at the mouth. And the disciples couldn't help him. And so Jesus says, bring him to me. But here's the idea that we have fear that once we even bring it to Jesus, something, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to come true as we thought it would. And so the deal being this is that we must surrender to Jesus all the things of our past that will prevent us from allowing faith to take hold of our situation or our future. The things that will hold you up today are the things that you have had in your past that will paralyze you. Well, it didn't happen before. What makes you think it's going to happen now? I want to tell you that this is a new day. God is the God of the minute of what you're experiencing right now, and he can change that situation right now. Well, with that being the case, I have five more things to add to the idea of things that will keep us from believing those things. It is, number one, spiritual strongholds from our family heritage. Some of you are locked in not in a healthy way, to things that have never happened well in your family. You know, well, Mama, she had this all her life. I guess I'm doomed to have it. Really? Mama was pessimistic. Mama was negative. Daddy was this. Daddy was that. So you feel like you're locked in. I want to tell you that's not true. God's got a new message for you. Secondly, acceptance of things that we believe are a part of our nature. Well, I've always been this way. And we are so sick of you being this way. It is time for you to change. I've always been a little skeptical. I've always been a little bit mean. Honey, it's time for nice to move in. Let mean get all his clutter and get out your house, okay? Thank you. Here's one that I think would plague everyone. Because if you've ever had failure, this is what will lock you into that. Fear of success, of what that will mean that you can no longer have excuses for your behavior. No more excuses. You know, some people enjoy being pitiful. Oh, I'm always late. Oh, everybody knows I'm always late. I'm just a late person. And you know something? We are tired of it. Get a clue. Show up on time. Oh, I'm not a good cook, honey. Get on the Food Network. Stop being so lousy and lazy. We're tired of beanie weenies and all that kind of nonsense. Help me, Jesus. Lime Jello with Spam Chips. I know. Y'all come up with some crazy stuff. And add a little crunch with a little ground up Fritos. That's what they do. Obstacles and hurdles that seem insurmountable, spiritually, physically, and financially. Let me talk about the financial piece. Oh, he said, here he goes. Yeah, here I go. Some of y'all are broke because you don't have good sense. And some of you are broke because you are robbing God. Either one of them are a formula for disaster. You say, I'm just not good with money. Then get better with money. Don't use it as an excuse to be pitiful. I could get distracted. I got to get through this, okay? You all be glad because I had something to say to you. Anyway. Cultural exclusion that would cause you to forsake any opportunity to pursue a cure. Some of you have been locked in culturally, ethnically, in all kinds of different ways, and so you feel that's an excuse for you to continue on in your behavior. I want to tell you, that's not true. It's just not true. So I want to move into this next little phase where it says, our unbelief is not a death sentence that will keep us in slavery to the things of the enemy. Because you remember the fellow says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So as long as I've got unbelief, I guess I'm a slave to the devil. That is not true. And let me tell you why it's not true. Unbelief is often something that will hijack our faith when we are on the verge of a breakthrough. We get ready to take over that particular thing. And all of a sudden, you've never done this before. Look down, you're not able to do this. I used to be afraid of heights. And I'm still not going to get upon a 40-foot ladder. But I'll tell you what, I'm just for no reason. But I remember one time there was something that I needed to have done, and it was way up there on this roof in this old rickety place and this type of thing, and it needed to get done. There was nobody else to help me. And I said, Jesus, you and I are going up this ladder. You will help me climb this ladder. I didn't have another day. I couldn't find nobody to help me. And I'm telling you, you know how it goes. When you go up a ladder, and of course, and back in the days, those little aluminum ladders that kind of go back and forth. Get all the way up to the top. Here comes the wind. You know where the story goes. There goes the ladder. Jesus! Thank God there was somebody next door that heard my cry and brought my ladder back to me. But you know, but as bad as that experience was, I found out that number one, Jesus is there to help me even in the midst of my stupidity. And number two, the fear that I once had is gone. Now don't ask me to clean your gutters because I ain't gonna do it. But I'm gonna tell you right now, but some things that we think are gonna be a paralyzing thing, God wants to take that out of us. Unbelief will often surface when we are about to step out in faith or something unexpected happens that we interpret to mean that God is not going to come through. That's a big sentence, but it simply means this. Unbelief just kind of just launches itself just to undermine every success you've had. How about this? When the father saw his son's behavior before and in the presence of Jesus, his faith was challenged. I want to go back to Mark chapter 9. I didn't write the scripture in there, but real quickly, this is what happened. In verse 20, it says, and they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed and foaming at the mouth. Now, this is in the presence of Jesus. Do you know the devil will do anything at any time to cause you not to believe in the Lord? He doesn't play fair. Do you know that the devil never misses a church service? You know why? Because some of you bring him. What you looking around for? Check your profile, baby. Because a lot of the negative things that you have in your mind, I want to tell you, they're not from God. You need to kick the devil off the bus and let God be who he's going to be. Well, I've been waiting to say that all week. Thank you, Jesus. We're not called upon to figure things out, but to trust that God knows what he's doing. Now, that doesn't mean we act in just blind stupidity and just ignorance. Consider this. Our unbelief will be cured when we realize that we are always in the presence of the Lord. When Jesus made a promise, I will never leave you, that is an absolute promise, an absolute truth that he means he will never leave you. No matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, Jesus is always with you. His spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit will go with you wherever you go. You know that is good protection? Because the Holy Spirit is the alarm that says, don't do that. You need to get out here right now. Don't believe that. I mean, the Holy Spirit is the umpire and will make you aware of this stuff. But sometimes you feel like, I'm just all here. I don't ever want to hear you say, I'm just all by myself. That's a lie from the pit. Jesus is with you wherever you go. Wow. Somebody say hallelujah, because that's a good thing. Well, he'll never leave us, and he's close to us, as close as our next breath. His promise to be with us is always true and powerful witness that obviously we can count on. What about this? Jesus will confront demons that have held us hostage with the word of his command. Now back to the story in Mark chapter 9. This is what Jesus does. You know, it's after he says, you know, Lord, I believe in this type of thing. Verse 25, Jesus says, Jesus saw the people that came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying this, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him. Now watch this. And enter him no more. I'm not speaking about being halfway delivered. I'm not talking about a hint of Jesus. I just got a touch from Jesus. No, you need deliverance. See, some of you come to church just enough to just kind of, I just feel a little bit better. Oh, I just, this is not therapy. It's like you go to the chiropractor. Oh, I feel so good. And by the time you hit I-5, it's right back there again. For a moment, you felt pretty good. I'm talking about deliverance today, folks, because he says, you come out of him and don't you ever, ever come back. Is that the kind of deliverance you want? Believe me, you got enough stuff, other stuff. You say, oh, what am I going to do with that type of thing? No, honey, there's other stuff to work on, okay? But some things you need to leave behind today. Is that okay? Well, let's move on with this. So the idea behind this is that the authority to command the devil to leave will only come when we focus on consecrating our lives to serve Jesus. And Mark chapter 9, verse 29. This is a part that I think will help us. They said, well, Lord, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus says, so he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. One of the things you'll find in that little handout we're giving to you is an opportunity for you to fast. And I didn't tell you how to fast. I didn't tell you to go on a Daniel fast or you know, water-only fast or, you know, meat. I didn't tell you what to do. But you know what? I'll tell you what. If you want power in the Holy Spirit, go on a fast. Give up something that's important to you, like the internet. I gotta get on Facebook. I gotta find out what's going on. Yep, that's the one. You nailed it. That's the one. Unplug yourself. I don't know if I can do that. You know, they did something right in the world. Some of you are in prison, and now I know why they call that little thing you carry a cell phone. Did you get it? Work with it, folks. You're not going to forget that one. Well, I'm not in prison to this thing. All it has to do is just kind of buzz in your pocket. And you're like, I wonder who that was. You're in jail. I dare you. I double dare you. Just cut it off for one day. Not for 10. One. You don't touch it. You don't do anything to it. Just leave it on the charger for a day. And you know something? The world will still turn without you. You aren't that important. Oh, and now here comes a big part right now. How many of you going to do it? How many of you will do it? Come on. I got 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on. Feast are getting saved right there. There's another one. Yes. It'll be amazing. Because God's going to do something. And it's not all about that. But fasting and prayer put a focus on where it belongs, on Jesus. It's not about you skipping a meal or not going to Starbucks or whatever you're not going to do. But it's about being focused more on Jesus. You have more time to focus on him. When we pray and fast, we realize there are things that only God can do. How about this? The power of God is released when we realize our authority over the devil given us by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to touch on a little bit our thing in Mark, because I'm going to try to get us out of here really pretty quick, because I've got plenty that I can unpack the next time we're together. When we invite Jesus into circumstances and situations that seem terminal. In other words, terminal is a term that means inevitably one thing. It could be premature death. You die a lot sooner than you thought you should or would. But the part I want you to understand about terminal circumstances is that you're confronted by it all the time. If you just allow me for a moment to just think in the terms of what it was like in Jesus' day when they didn't have all the options that we have. And we can call and get an appointment, and they'll get an MRI, and they'll do those other type of thing, give all kind of tests, and they'll give you some sort of readout of what's going on. When none of that's available to you, you're just kind of out there. Well, so when we come to Jesus, we must be willing to forsake anything that would seem to us as an advantage of getting an audience with him. And the very first person who walks onto the scene is a man of prominence, a man who's got authority, a man who people look up to, Jairus. The Bible describes him as an individual, you know, who's got people that, you know, he can just kind of say, you do this and you do that, and he's got all this power and authority. But you know something? When tragedy comes into your life, your authority or your prestige doesn't mean a thing. When your daughter is sick and when they're saying, you know, if something doesn't happen, she's going to die, your position in life doesn't mean anything when you're in love with your family. You know, the thing that touched me so much, you know, this morning when you're honoring my wife and I is I have six children. I love my kids. I mean, I love them. I love their mother more. I'm sorry, kids, I love her more, but that's okay. If I love her more, y'all wouldn't be here. So that's all. Just think about it. Deal with it. Okay. But my children, you know, the thing about it is if something happens to them, they're going through a hard time, it affects me. To the core, it affects me. And so I understand where Jairus is coming from when the Bible says here, and it says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came by the name of Jairus, and he fell at Jesus' feet. He didn't care he was an authority there. He's just collapsing in emotion and sin. And his words to Jesus are just so profound. He says, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed. And watch this. And she will live. How did he know that? There's some things you need to know about Jesus. That Jesus wants you to be well. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to live. He wants you to have the very, very best. And somehow, he'd heard about Jesus. He saw the way Jesus responded to situations. He says, you know, if you lay your hands on her, she's going to live. I know that. I know you love people. And so, that kind of opens the story. So, Jairus abandons his title and his rank to invite Jesus to become a part of his pain. Some of you need to invite Jesus to become a part of your pain and just abandon whoever you thought you were when you walked through those doors and say, Jesus, it doesn't matter who people think I am, I need you in my situation right now. Anybody feel like that? Because that's what we need to do. So anyway, we must realize that Jesus understands everything that we're going through on a personal level. If we took a poll today of people who are going through difficult times or things they're uncertain about, you'd be like, really? I can't even imagine you were going through that. Oh, I didn't know that. We're good at putting on the happy face. But this guy says, I'm not interested in putting on a happy face. I need to let Jesus know I'm in pain. I'm in real pain. Believing in Jesus encompasses the reality that life is fragile and he's the only one who can divinely alter our circumstances according to his will. He's the only one who can. There are things in life that only Jesus can do. Nobody else can do it. Well, whether we gather to worship the Lord, we can rest, or whenever we gather to worship the Lord, we can rest and be assured that his presence can attend to our corporate and individual needs. You know what's going to happen today? Corporately, I believe God was just really ministering to us as we were singing together, worshiping together. But you know something? He did not abandon the idea or the concept that there are people in here that individually have needs that he can attend to, and he can pick you out of a crowd. He's not confused. Oh, yeah, they're all there. Now, which one has this problem? I don't know. Is it her? Is it her? No, he sees you individually, but he sees you corporately. He's amazing because he's God. Never feel when you come into the house of the Lord that you're not important or you're not significant to God, because he sees you as a corporate body, but he also sees an individual. He says, you know what? I'm going to heal him today. I'm going to set her free today. Anybody want that today? Just wave your hand and say, yeah, I'd like that. Because that can be yours. Well, so Jesus was completely available to attend the needs of Jairus' daughter. The Holy Spirit is active and working on assignment constantly to minister to the needs of the saints. But what about this? We must recognize that he is available constantly, and right now he sees you. It's like nobody else is in the room but you. Quickly, let's go to the woman with the issue of blood, and we'll just get a little bit of her circumstance, and then we'll quit. So, Jesus makes a commitment. He says, okay, let's go see about your daughter. But when you know, Jesus gets, we think, kind of shanghaied or taken off the path. Or did he? Well, the Bible makes it clear that while he's on his way, there's a certain woman who has this problem. She's had it for a long period of time. The woman shows, that she's had this issue of blood for 12 years. But the woman chose to believe in Jesus based on what she'd heard. And the lowest point in her life became the most powerful point of her faith. 12 years being within a particular affliction. Resources are gone. Ostracized out of the community. I don't know whether you knew about this or not, but there were certain laws of the culture that this woman was an unclean woman, and she really couldn't be in a crowd of folks. She was not allowed to be with other folks. So she's ostracized for a number of different reasons. Now she's got no money that even gives her any hope. But she's at the lowest point of her life. The power of her faith took the form of envisioning an anointing and release of healing when she touched Jesus' garment. So she suffered this, and when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. I don't want to say this in a bad way, but for a moment, if you can just forget or dismiss us and just imagine yourself, because you are, and have the complete attention of Jesus, that when you touch, that you can say, you know, if I can touch Jesus in this way today, I know I'm going to get healed. I'm not just talking about physically, I'm talking about emotionally and other things that are going on in your life. If I can touch Jesus on this level, he's going to change my philosophy or the way I do things, and I'm not going to be broke anymore. You say, why'd you put that in there? Because some people don't have money because they make bad choices. It's not because they don't have enough. They just keep making bad choices over and over and over again, and they're broke. But I'm going to turn my checkbook over to Jesus. And he's going to be my manager, and I'm going to start making better choices because I can't do it. You say, well, that's too practical. Is Jesus practical? Absolutely. So the deal is this. Her faith was not in the fact of the garment, but in the one who wore it. Put your faith in the right thing or right person. It's symbolic, but it's perfect. Because I think there was probably something in her where she felt, he says, you know, it would be inappropriate. And here's the reason why I believe this. It would be inappropriate for me to touch Jesus because according to the laws, I'm an unclean woman and I will defile him when I touch him. So if I can just touch his garment, which the garment is upon him, it'll be symbolic enough that when I touch that, I'm going to get well. You say, well, that's too heady for me. Don't worry about how heady it is. That's kind of how she's thinking. I'm not going to pollute him with my problem, but if I could just touch something that's on him, I got faith to believe that I don't have to touch him, but anything that he put on, it's good enough for me to get to Jesus. So, connecting our faith with who Jesus is and what he can do is the key to receiving healing that we need. It's more than mind over matter. She reached out to Jesus, knowing that he was a man of compassion. How did she know? Because she'd heard about him. And I want to tell you, in these next few weeks, when we go through our Bible study together, you're going to have this insatiable urge or desire to be more vocal or to be more outspoken about talking about Jesus. You say, I've never talked to anyone about Jesus like this before. Well, it's time. It's time for you to say something. She believed the message of Jesus of being one who restores lives. She believed in Jesus who could do the impossible. So she says, if I can just touch his garment, something's going to happen. And this is the part I know you're waiting for. So she reached out in faith, believing that Jesus was her only hope, and her faith was vested in knowing the power he had to heal. And so she chose to believe that touching was just a part of him would be sufficient. Now this last little scripture, Luke 7, verses 37 to 39. And choir, you can make your way up here, and that'll kind of bring us into perspective. And behold, a woman, a sinner who knew that Jesus sat at the table of a Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster vial of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. I want to close the loop on something as we close this message today. It's when we come to church, we have a lot of preconceived ideas of who can, who cannot, who should or who should not be able to have access to Jesus. Based on us culturally, is based upon the fact that we feel that some sins are worse than others. That's how we think. And so, if I can just take this one facet where it says, when she did reach out to Jesus, Jesus said these words, "Who touched me?" Jesus knows. When we reach out to him, there's a connection there. It's not just him touching us. It's us touching him. I need to tell you very simply, you matter to Jesus. You say, what? I don't know who's told you you don't. Devil, more than likely. But you matter to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'll stop right there. In this room, in this place, there are all types of things that happen. I didn't walk down the road with you this week, but some of you may have had some very devastating circumstances. But the word the Lord gave me is you need to bring them to Jesus. You need to release the faith that says that if I can touch Jesus today, I know I'm going to be made well. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. But most of all, salvation, because there are several people here today that need to give their lives to Jesus. Not because I said so, but because you've wanted to for a long period of time. But there's a lot of unworthiness of saying, you know, I don't think Jesus would accept some person like me because I've done this or been that or been to this or been to that. Stop the noise and allow Jesus to do what he does. Let's pray. Jesus, I don't know how to say it any better than what you said. Who touched me? And Lord, we want to say, be the person to say, you know, it was me. Because I need you so bad. I need you to fix my life. I've tried everything. I know how to fix it. I've spent everything that I have. All my emotions are gone. All my hope for any type of solution has vanished. It's me. Lord, I need to hear from you that you'd say that I can go my way and be healed. Because I felt something when the preacher was preaching, and somehow my face says, I can be healed, and I will be. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, Jesus is talking to you today. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand, saying, that's what I need today. I need that 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 today. Put your hands down. In a moment, we're going to sing a song we've sung many times. Lord, I give you my heart. Those of you who are coming for salvation today, please be kind.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.